Our children have more going on than ever before. So what are parents to do? Melissa in the Morning presents For the Kids, now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Let's talk about one of the biggest uphill battles for parents of today's world. Social media and the internet. National data proves that kids are on the internet. That's kind of the norm here in America. And in fact, we have the data to back that up. Surveys show 90% of teens ages 13 to 17 have used social media. 75% of them at least have one active social media profile. 51% of them saying they visit that social media profile at least once a day. Two-thirds of teens have their own mobile devices with internet capabilities. And on average, teens are online almost 9 hours a day, not including time for homework. So we know the internet is a norm, and we're only talking about the teenagers, but as a mom of a five-year-old who was handed a Chromebook at the beginning of his kindergarten year this year, we know that kids are inundated with the internet and technology as young as being a toddler. So let's talk about how to become a good digital citizen, since this is inevitably the world we live in today. We have our social media consultant back on the show with us. Krista Karnes joins us for this week's theme of For the Kids. Hey, Krista.
Hey, Melissa. Nice to talk to you again.
I know. I've missed you, and I'm so glad you're here. This is probably one of the most requested topics I got, and understandably so. First of all, let's start with the very basic question. What is a good digital citizen? What does that mean?
You know, I liken it to the idea, you know, of being a good neighbor in your town or, you know, in just of the world, right? So, and that requires engagement, just, you know, the participating, helping to make things better, not worse, ideally. Often involves sort of rules and norms that that you follow, and sort of everybody can, you know, be themselves and but not cause any sort of harm or things like that. So when we think about it in an internet world, you know, teaching those kinds of skills early on is in some ways what you're teaching your kid in general. So I think you can make a correlation between that, right? So, you know, don't say anything that you wouldn't, you know, don't say anything online that you wouldn't say to somebody's face, you know, teaching your kids how to handle conflict or, you know, what to do when someone says something unkind, you know.
Have the same decorum you would in real life as you would on the internet is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Except when you're dealing with online and social media, like sometimes those interactions can be anonymous, and that's where the real painful parts come in. So I think if you have young kids, you know, 5 and 6 and 7, like starting these conversations often and early, about, you know, just, you know, being kind and how to block people if somebody, you know, upsets you, and, you know, your behavior as a parent on social media and how they're seeing you engage with your phone can be a great opportunity to teach kids.
I was just going to ask that. See, I tell you, Krista, we are on the same wavelength, because part of, I would think, handling social media to the best of our ability has to come from what our experience is and what they are seeing. Certainly, they are more technologically advanced. My five-year-old definitely knows more than I do, and he grew up without knowing how to function a cell phone. But I know he's going to be more technologically advanced by the time he gets through fifth grade, whereas when I was in fifth grade, we were taking typing classes. So we know we're living in a different world where this is integral in their growing up years. But it sounds like it starts with us, the adults, being good digital citizens and then showing that to our children, you know, leading by example.
Exactly. And I can't, and there's more and more research coming out all the time. And I wish I had an exact example, but the research is showing that things like putting your phone, even as an adult, in the kitchen when you go to bed at night will help you sleep better. It helps teenagers do better. Like, it can help them improve their studying and test taking. Like, they're making all because of the parts of the technology that affects the human brain, right? The notifications, the pings, you can't help but register that. And if it's around you, it's going to interrupt what else you might want to be focused on: sleep, family dinner time, you know. So it's really hard for us to admit how much we use these devices. And, you know, I pause the TV because somebody has to go do something and I jump on my phone and check Instagram. Like, why am I doing that? I don't know. Mm. Right. So like we have to watch our own habits because that's what they see. And again, you know, with kids as young as five and my teenagers, you know, do as I say, not as I do, it doesn't work.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And again, we have Krista Carnes here, who is our social media consultant. We are talking during For the Kids about social media, the internet and online presence and how we can better communicate with them, make sure that they are good digital citizens, not that they are only acting appropriately, but also that they are responding appropriately and that they're reporting things. So, for example, this was a very common question that we got from our listeners, Krista. How do we stay up to date on trending social media platforms? It seems like more and more are added on a daily basis. Or is it really more important that we create a safe space for our children to share what they're doing and seeing on the platforms they're using? Or is it a little bit of both?
I think it is a little bit of both. I think at least from my perspective, understanding the general use, like and what parameters to put in place early, right? So limiting screen time, limiting app times, understanding what you have control of so that it's not like you wouldn't hand, you know, the day my kid gets his driver's permit, I'm not going to hand him the keys to my car and, you know, or to some sports car and tell him to run crazy, right? Like you have to sort of graduate and prove that they're responsible. And some kids are going to be way more, and it has an, because they're showing that it can have an addictive potential, they're at a potential for addiction, I think we have to monitor that early and often too. So, you know, creating limits on how much time, establishing habits so that they don't expect to use it, you know, except for on the weekends or whatever works for your family, you know, how many hours a day. And there are, I think learning the devices may come first, right? What can I control? What can I turn off? How do I put in, you know, how do I put into place gates so that there's no content, you know, explicit content, things like that. I mean, I know a lot of parents who just hand their kids a phone and don't do anything to help, you know, kind of
limit
their
world.
Right,
it's out of my hands, not my problem, right, which we've learned is it might make you the bad guy, might make you not the friend of your child, but at the end of the day, you are the parent, so it is your right and kind of responsibility, I would think, to put those parameters in place.
Well, and we all worry, you know, like you hear somebody, you know, we worry, like, if I let my kids go to the mall by themselves, and, like, you know, you can catastrophize all these things of what could possibly happen, and, you know, maybe we're, you know, that's just a parenting thing, but if you don't know what the potential dark places are on the internet and what, I mean, there are predators out there, and I'm not trying to be, you know, super alarmist, but you know, if you have no access and you have not established a relationship with your child that they know that if you say, hey, let me look at your text threads. Hey, let me look at, I want to see, you know, show me Snapchat, right? Even
yeah,
if you don't understand
it,
having them show and establishing that connection so that they know that that's the deal, right?
I also love that idea, though, Krista, of empowering a child to have them teach you. It's a very humbling moment, I would think, between a parent and a child when you say, hey, you know what? You're on this thing. I don't want to take it away, but honestly, I got to be real. I have absolutely no idea how that works. Can you show me? We just went through this with our son with video games because it's nothing like the way we had it in the 90s. I mean, our graphics alone were just totally, I mean, we had Duck Hunt for crying out loud. He's got Mario Wonder and he's showing us and he's getting frustrated at playing with us. And finally, my husband and I said, look, we were good at our games when we were kids, but we don't know how to play your games. You know, tell us what to do. And when he does something that we certainly couldn't pull off, we celebrate him. And it's really empowering for him. And all of a sudden, it's really interesting since that shift of conversation of, hey, teach mom and dad how to do this. We don't know. He will not play the video games by himself. It's really interesting. Before he used to, be like, can I just go play by myself? But now he almost feels like he's lonely if we're not playing with him. And so even that shifting conversation and empowering your kids to say, hey, I'm not taking this away or I'm not coming at you, but I am asking you to teach me because, boy, mom and dad have no idea what's going on. That also might open them up more to say, you know, oh, like this is kind of goofy, mom, but here's how it works. So that's also a really great tip.
Yeah, and it's an open to topic for conversation, because mm-hmm. if you've never explored that with, I mean, listen, like, I know some people are like completely anti social media, and I don't know how far that's going to get, you know, get us as parents. But, you know, when my son tells me something he's learned, and where'd you hear that? I learned it on TikTok. Well, show me, because then I know if it's just, if it's how to make cookies better, like whatever he's, you know, and not all the content is bad.
Right.
Right. So
I think
you're hitting on something.
Right before the break, Krista Karnes said something that is important to remember, that social media is not all bad. If you can remember back when Facebook was a thing, when it was the thing, rather. I remember when Facebook was launched in the mid-2000s. I was a senior in high school, and I remember going home and saying to my mom, I want to get on this platform. And my mom said, absolutely not. You're not doing that. Not happening. So I got onto Facebook when I was in college. And, you know, I love what you said, Krista, which is there are people who are anti-social media. And I get that. I really do. Because all you hear about is the bad news. And as a news reporter, I cannot tell you how frustrating it is when you have people who are getting their news from social media platforms where sometimes it might be somewhat true. Maybe sometimes it's fully true, but it's mixed in with a lot of manipulation, a lot of times not the truth or half truths or whatever. And so I understand the anti-social media movement. However, it's completely, it seems like sort of a waste of time, just because this is the reality of the world. This is what kids are on, millions and millions and millions of kids, including probably your own. So how do you shift your thinking? How do you shift your thinking? And for example, let's go back to the Facebook thing. It was maybe a year after my mom found out that I was on Facebook, she created a profile. And it wasn't to creep on me. It was to understand the platform better. And it was initially made so we could connect with people. That's what it was initially made for, which goes back to your point. It's not all bad. How do you shift your thinking if you are anti-social media?
I mean,
is this a lot to digest before breakfast? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, no, I just, you know, it's a big question, because mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think, you know, you bring up the difference, you know, the source of information, you know, to your point, there's so much garbage in, garbage out, right? I mean,
right.
There's just, there's a lot out there, and there's a one day we'll do a show on the difference between media and journalism.
It's made my life infinitely harder in the last 5 years. Infinitely
absolutely.
Harder. Oh, my Lanta.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But I use it.
But you know
I do
what?
Use
like,
it.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because, and I don't know if the trends are this, it's just, this is my personal experience. And I think with some of my kids' friends, and I have a almost 16-year-old and a almost 14-year-old boys. And they don't actually post, they just watch, right? So they're watching all this. So it's content. So, you know, where you and I might have like read a book or, you know, been bored for an afternoon because there was nothing on TV. I mean, I grew up, you know, when cable was just like hitting on, but there wasn't 24-hour anything, back then. This is the reality. It is 24 hours in their hands. So, if you're anti-social media, I think you have to be broad-minded. It's like, I mean, you have to recognize that maybe you're not using it, but they are.
Right. You don't have to like it, and you don't have to use it. But if you want to invest in your kids, you have to understand it. You know,
you have to understand it.
Great example. Sounds dumb, but it's a great example. My son loves reptiles. Now, I loathe reptiles. I do not like snakes. I'm sorry. It's just, it's a hard no for me. It's always been that way. But my son loves them. He's very fascinated by them. I don't have to like them. And when we go to the zoo, I don't got to go into the reptile room, but my husband can. I'm not going to block my son from liking reptiles. And I know I'm dumbing this down, but it's that same concept. You don't have to like social media, but you do have to understand that your kid probably likes social media. So you got to know about it.
Yeah, and if you reject it out of hand, that anything that happens, then you're closing off that line of communication, and that is what is going to. That's where the problems start lying, because then they start explore. Then they don't think you care, and if you don't care, it's just like saying, "Go out. You have no curfew. I don't care." I mean, parents are so like we have the ability to track our kids on a phone to the minute, and I bet a lot of those parents who might not like Instagram or Snapchat, or like they think all this is garbage, they're using those phones for reasons for themselves. So like, I think, you know, it's a responsibility it's a responsibility to have a phone. It's a responsibility to use these social platforms. There's a lot of evidence that's saying the longer you can wait on all of that, the better, and you're not going to be your kid's friend.
Do I dare ask you what age do you think is appropriate for kids to even get on social media?
I mean, it's really hard for me because this is not what I did, right? So,
right.
But the more evidence that comes out, you know, I mean, I think there's a graduated way to do it. I think some of the apps, like at the bare minimum, you got to follow their, you know, you're not allowed to have a you know, an Instagram profile until you're 13. You know, that's usually seventh or eighth grade. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of people out there saying, you know, wait till eighth. But I think that, and it, you know, to your earlier question about how do we get up on, you know, what the platforms do,
yeah,
and
like
how do we know
educating ourselves, yeah.
Right, but I do think it's important to also, like, there's a lot of documentaries out there by people who started Twitter and started Pinterest and were in the early stages, and they don't let their kids online until they're 14 or 15.
Yeah,
right.
Well, it's sort of the same. I don't know. I think it's sort of the same way as most major responsibilities. I mean, when you're talking about being able to drive a car or to buy a lottery ticket, or, you know, so there's a reason
why staying home alone
or staying home alone. That's another great point. I mean, there are things, even staying in the car. I mean, being able to stay in the car by yourself. I mean, there are things that you have to be a certain age because you're now responsible for yourself and your well-being. I mean, I think that's the key thing, is that we're now talking about not just how long you're online and are you becoming brain dead. We're talking about your safety. When you talk about people who are a threat to your children, potentially, not to scare people, but there are, that does exist. You're talking
about
your kids.
And they're calling in your Xbox too, by
right?
the way.
Oh, absolutely. That's
right?
What I'm saying. Absolutely. It's in your game everywhere. It's everywhere. So you're talking about, when you discuss the age that is appropriate for your kids to be on social media, I think you have to talk about, is my kid capable of taking care of their well-being to an extent? You know, like, how old do you have to be to know to call 911 if you see somebody is choking? How old do you have to be? You know, so I just think those kind of correlate.
And every kid is, you know, there's no
it's
hard
different.
Rule, but to your,
right.
And I think the other thing is if they cross a line or they make a poor choice, then there's natural consequences. Okay, well, now you can only use these platforms when you're on the family computer in the den,
right, where
you have to do it downstairs. And not that, just so they know, because kids want boundaries, right? Like, isn't this what all the parenting books say? They want boundaries.
Yeah, they want you to care.
Times where I've grounded my kid from his phone, and at the end of the week, he's like, oh, I kind of like that.
Right,
right,
right.
Because they're forced to do what they need to do. Of course,
see,
you just walk
it, no, it's fine. Even the dog agrees with you. And Krista Carnes, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking about this topic again. It is probably one of the most requested ones for this week's theme, so I thank you for diving into it, and I know we'll have you back on the show really soon.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Melissa. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Krista Carnes, our social media consultant on WICC.